Hey everyone.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let us continue on. Thank you guys for the job you've done so far. You guys have done an awesome job. Trish and Ty, great job, man.
Love it, Ty. Love
no
it.
More videos. You bring paper.
right. That's correct. I almost cried over here.
Yeah, I almost.
I saw it. We're in church, girl.
Okay.
I saw it over there.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to come up and speak, Father. Let my words not be my words, but yours, Father. Let me be encouraged and inspired by the word for today, Father. May it make us stronger and better people than we leave. Love you and your son, Jesus' name, we pray all of it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good job, guys. Like I said, you guys have done a very, very good job getting me started here. Got a couple of questions for you before you get started. Who in here likes to wait?
No.
We are a very impatient, as Americans for sure.
Yeah.
We're not very patient people. Not patient at all. It's not something that's not in our DNA. We got fast food. We got, I will really drive by and see like a McDonald's or something, and if that's more than like four cars, I can't do it.
Right.
I just can't do it. My wife will tell you, I go, let's go to the next restaurant. I'm not keeping that line.
Yeah.
That's the kind of patience we have. Mm-hmm. And so, as I say, that's kind of how it's built into our DNA. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We got instant messaging. Boom, somebody called me. Boom, let me get out there. We got, instant food. Sometimes I shop and I'm like, there's something wrong with that food. I can just eat it in like 10 seconds. Just put a little water in it. I'm an old farm guy. We have to cook our stuff.
Amen.
Yeah. Right. And everything. We like picking and cooking. And here it is. Just put a little water on it. Microwave it for 2 minutes. It's ready to go. I'm like, that's just weird. But that's kind of where we are. We don't like to wait. And so the title of my message this morning is, who's really going to wait? And so, I know we've been studying out of Exodus, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to be talking about two men today. And guess where one of them is coming from? Just with you guys, I'm going to put you back in Exodus. That's the first
verse. All right.
So if you want to turn your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 33, starting in verse 7. We know this person very well. This is Moses. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Moses. Now, Moses was an interesting character. Moses was looking to, he was special in God's eyes, number one. And especially in his mom as well. But Moses was a person, too, that didn't want to wait either. So let's start at verse 7. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of a meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of the meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. Mm-hmm. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud would come down and stay over the entrance. While the Lord spoke with Moses, whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they stood and worshiped, each in the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but the young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So here's Moses. Moses was a friend of God.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't start out that way though.
No.
He had to wait a little bit, didn't he? Looking at the story of Moses, Moses was special even in the womb of his mom. In verses Exodus chapter 2:2, it says, about this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. That's the New Living Translation. So here's Moses. Moses is our first character. Moses, we know the story of Moses. Moses put in a basket, sent down an eye. Now, y'all know what's in the Nile?
Alligators.
Alligators.
Crocodiles. But it just depends on me. In fact, even worse. But you know what? Here's a mom that says, you're special, man. She's already looking at, this is my special baby. Kind of like, you know, a little earlier here, you know, Todd, thanks a lot with us and our sons. Send our son down the river. Special son. And what God said, God knew he was special too in the womb. Now, the thing, you would think the basket would sink.
Mm-hmm.
Or yet you say, right, he might probably die. But no, it went on. Because, see, God had a plan. And the plan was for Moses to do something. But he had to wait. Can start off at the beginning. It's kind of like life for us. We start off and we wait. Well, I want it to happen now. I want things to go right now. Amen. But God says, no. Let's wait. You may not be ready. It may not be your time yet, because you may have to go through something. You see, Moses had to wait a little bit, but God put him in a place. Now, Moses would have never became the man he was if he had stayed where he was with his mother.
Right.
Instead, he ended up with the Pharaoh. Now, a slave in that time, which was all Jewish at that time, the Jews, they didn't allow them to get education. But little they got, what they got from sneaking around kind of going. But they weren't allowed to go to the nice schools and learn all the things that the Egyptians did. But guess who did?
Moses.
See, God said, hey, you know what? I got to wait. I got to put you where you need to be. Sometimes he does that for us. We just got to be patient.
Amen.
So Moses here is now learning. He's getting all this knowledge and he's getting all these things. And it's now Moses is in the he's in the big house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in the Pharaoh's house. Right? He didn't get like some guy serving guy. He is in the house. So that means he's getting all this learning for something down the road. Now here's someone that all of a sudden he's in the house. What happened? He ain't in the house alone.
Right.
Again, God says there's some waiting to be done. So all of a sudden now, he is from one place to the other. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 6. So now he's in the palace. He's in there with the Pharaoh. But now he becomes a what? Sheepherd. A sheepherd, y'all, back in those times, wasn't even allowed to go to the temple. Did y'all know that? They weren't allowed to come to the temple to worship. A sheep herd was pretty low.
Right.
So here we are high, here we are low. Mm-hmm. In verse 1-2, he says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of the meeting. He led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him, blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why is that bush burning up? I must go to see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. What did he say? Here I am. That's our first song right here. Moses replied. He said, do not come closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at the God. See, sometimes we know that we kind of jump the gun. We'll get going in a situation. We'll say, you know what? I got this. It's kind of like, coming up, sometimes you call to preach. You know, well, if I'm called to preach, shouldn't I be prepared? If you're not, then you may not be good at the job, right?
Right.
So is it important to be prepared? So Moses here is fleeing into the wilderness. He is not realizing that God has already prepared him, but he doesn't even know it.
Right, that's true.
He started him off in the place where he can learn and have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. But then he brought him up high and he brought him down low. Sometimes in our life, we go through this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't be discouraged. You can't let that stop us. A lot of times when we get up high, it's kind of like what Trish was saying about our wealth. Our wealth is our wealth because God gave that wealth for us to share with others, not for our own selfish ambition. It is something that God gives you, your time, who you are, everything about you. If you're a disciple of Christ, you belong to God. And everything that you have belongs to God. If you don't believe that, then you're really not a disciple of Christ, because God says that whatever I give you is because of my grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. Just like Todd's song, the movie earlier. I gave you the ultimate sacrifice. I gave you my son. That's a sacrifice. I mean, I was sitting there looking at that switch going, I mean, there's a turmoil. If you didn't have that turmoil in you, but I'm sitting there going, do you pull the switch? I thought about that for a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moses has a question and decision to make. Do I listen to what God says? Or do I keep on, you know, hey, do I ignore the voice? Do I make a decision on here? But God says, no, what? No. I brought you here because this is where I need you to be. Sometimes in our life, we go through things, and we think that God, we're asking God for all these things, we're praying for it. And God said, why are you praying to me? I'm just waiting on you to be where you need to be. You can pray to me all day. It's not about what I'm sitting here telling you, get to where I need you to be.
Right.
Do what I need you to do.
Right.
And then guess what? Your prayers are being answered. But sometimes we want some miracle sign. God to come down and say, I got you, bro. Let me tap you on the shoulder. And then sometimes in that, you have to grow through something.
Mm-hmm.
Moses went through something. Mm-hmm. Moses had to, look, Moses ended up, what, called himself helping his brothers by, what, killing one of the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And then he had to flip him. He didn't help him. He just, you know, but guess what? That's God's plan.
Yeah.
So Moses wound up here just 40 years later. He's now the leader of sheep, which he later becomes the leader of what? God's people.
Yeah.
Look at this. See how God works? God works that way in all of us.
Right.
Sometimes we don't see it because guess what? We're sitting here, we're just praying and praying. God said, you know, just go do what you're supposed to do. And I will do the rest. But a lot of times we get a little discouraged and we get kind of pulled away. And so Moses didn't do that. Moses actually listened to God, went back, led the people out of Egypt, and the rest is history.
Right.
Because guess what? You have to be patient, though. It didn't happen in a day.
Mm-hmm.
This took time. It took time.
Yeah.
Moses could have just, you know what, disappeared. Just say, you know what? I see a fire up on the hill. I'm going to go the other way.
Right.
No, he didn't. But guess what? All this, if you look at over the time period, this took time for him to get to where he needed.
Right.
You got to be patient. Yep. You got to look and see who's really, what you're really waiting for. It's not necessarily what God is going to do. It's what you do so that God can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about the second person. Y'all don't like the second person. Y'all know him very, very well. We all know him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 8. Mr. Peter. Build my church on this. Good. You're the rock of the church. Six. All right. So here's Peter. And we all know Peter well.
Mm-hmm.
Peter is one of the disciples, isn't he? He's sitting at the table, isn't he?
Right.
He said, what did he tell God at the table? Y'all remember?
What about him?
Yeah, he told Christ, he said, you know, he said, when they finished eating, Simon and John, said, do not leave for this. Jesus, this is in verse of John 21, 15, 18. He said, yes, Lord, he said. He said, you know that I love you, Jesus said. He said, feed my lambs. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, I do. Jesus answered, said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to Simon of John, do you love me? He said, please. He said, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, if you were younger, you'll dress yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you need to go. Peter tells him, he loves God to death. What made us need to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Reason. Denies him.
Yeah.
He denies him. He's out high, he's sitting at the table with the big dog.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, he's out. He said, I know this guy. I'm not talking about him. That we should throw 3 times. Now here it is. You think, well, if this happens to me as an individual, I betrayed God, didn't do what I was supposed to do. But I've been at the table with him, I've been hanging out with him, but I'm going to say I denied it. Most of us would what? Just give up room.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you know what, it's over with. I denied God. God has no grace and mercy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't what happened.
No.
Peter goes on to be the great one of the greatest disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Acts, Peter talks about over in Acts. Peter says, you know what? In Acts, Peter says, Peter stood over at the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, but you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, young men will be visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And then later on, 3,000 were saved.
Yep.
So here, we got Peter, who sitting at the table with God. He ends up denying him. And he comes back, and he goes on, and he builds his church to where we are today. Because of his sacrifice, he did not give up. He did not say to himself, you know what, I was at high, now I'm low. He came back and realized that I have something, but I had to what? Get away. It didn't happen. He didn't see, we think that we have this perfect life that just goes on. But sometimes we get a little notch.
Yeah.
We get a little bump in the road.
Yeah.
We can't let the bump, we can't let the trials and tribulations that's going to happen be the discouragement.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, God has the plan. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have to be aware and waiting and say to ourselves, you know what, God, yeah, this is the bump in the road, but I got plans because I'm going to do great things with you because you are my Lord and Savior. You sacrifice for me, I'll sacrifice for you. See, these two men sacrificed for God. They went through a lot. It wasn't easy, especially with Peter. But he had to come back, and he had to realize that there's something that I need to do. I can pray all day and do everything I need, God. I can be on my knees till they're slowing the ground. But guess what? I still got to do something. Like you said it earlier. They're not necessarily works, but I have to do something. And sometimes when I do something, it may knock me down. But you can't do nothing and just think God is going to give you everything.
That's right.
It don't happen that way. That's right. Not the way God works.
That's right.
See, God is asking us to give him everything.
Mm-hmm.
Money. Time. I sacrifice. So one day, my own child. Sometimes in our family life, we have to come back and look at our family and say, you know what? You're not good for me. You need to get it together. Mm-hmm. Or you may, there's conflicts with spouses. You have to try to figure it out. God says, you know what? I may be knocking you down for a little bit, but that's not the end for it.
Right.
I have a bigger plan for you.
That's
you just cannot fade away. You can't let what happens in life discourage you. It's a tough world out there, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I see it every day. I know y'all do too. You know, when we talk about what gas now is, $7 somewhere out there, I heard in California, $8.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happens to us and what we got to not do? It's just a bump in the road, man.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We walk around here like God can't do nothing.
Amen.
We take $8, I might as well give up. I might as well stop driving. Come on. It's got to be bigger than $8.
Amen.
I mean, I understand we struggle.
Mm-hmm.
My wife tells you, she's been with me long enough. It ain't easy being with me. It wasn't easy to get, but it took God to make changes in me,
mm-hmm.
so I could be better for her, for my family.
Right.
Right. But I had to go do some things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give up.
Yeah.
You know, I look back, I remember one time we were teaching, my wife and I were teaching the middle schools. And they asked that question. It says, you know, if you could go back in your life and change things, would you? You know, all the middle schools said, now these are middle schools. I'm like, what problems you got? You know what they all said? Yeah, I go back and change things. I wouldn't do this. I'd go back because I didn't want this.
Right.
Well, I tell them, sweet. But yes, God don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. God must have made them stay.
Right.
He doesn't have a plan.
Huh.
They looked at me like, oh, what do you mean I understand? I said, well, think about it. You're here right now because this is what God wanted you. Mm-hmm. I am here right now because this is what God wanted me. We can't look at our past and what happens to us as stumbling blocks of what we are with God.
Amen.
God has an ultimate plan. He had a plan for Moses, he had a plan for Peter, for John. He had a plan all the way down. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, we're sitting here waiting and saying, God, just lift me up and make my life easy. No, that's a stumbling block. You know, there's people around the world right now who can't worship God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like we are here. But guess what? It made it happen. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what they're saying? Hey, God, don't wait on me. I'm here. Take me. You know, he said, here I am. He said, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
As I close out here, I want you guys to think about this. Two questions. If you're a disciple, where are you? Are you ready for God? Are you looking for God to make changes in your life so you can be better for God? Because mm-hmm. if you're better for God, you're better for everyone else.
Right.
Better for your wife, your children, your employer, mm-hmm. all these things, mm-hmm. friends, mm-hmm. everyone you come in contact with. But if you're just waiting on God just to just show you blessings,
mm-hmm.
you're waiting, you're defeating the whole purpose. That's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's a mutual relationship mm-hmm. with God. If you can't have that good relationship with God, then every relationship has what? Ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Even with God. Sometimes he's just trying to teach us that we're knuckleheads. No, I'm saying I'm knuckleheads. I may have had a couple knocks in the back of the head. You need to wake up, boy. This is what I got to say. But that don't mean I get deterred. That don't mean that I turn my back on God. I don't turn my back on the situation that we need to be. So if you're a Christian today, I want you to think about it. What can I do more to make sure that when God calls, I'm ready? No matter what situation I am, whether I'm at the lowest or I'm at the highest, when the call calls, I'm ready. You're not waiting on me, God. I'm ready. If you're not, then you need to get ready. Because God is calling you. God wants you to be ready because the relationship with God, I always tell people, the relationship I have outside before being with God, it's 10 times worse than the relationship being with God. Because at the end of the day, God has a plan for me that I know is much better than what I had for myself. It didn't work, and it never is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put God first and you put God into your life, God will take care of all the things.
Yep.
Took care of for Moses.
Mm-hmm.
We got stories all through the Bible. And sometimes the ultimate sacrifice is that some people don't make it out. But guess what? There's a better place than this. It's bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a temporary home for all of us. We know this. One day, each one of us will take that walk.
Yeah, that's true.
No matter who you are, I can promise that one thing. You're going to make that walk.
Yeah.
Yep.
The question is, what are you waiting for? Are you doing the waiting, or are you letting God wait for you? Because if you go through God, God will take care of all these things for you. It may not be easy sometimes. Sometimes it may be hard. But God is still God. And God loves us enough. He has enough grace and mercy for each and every one of us. Again, he gave up to the sacrifice of his own son for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, you know, what more would a father give?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your earthly father would give you these gifts, well, then what would your father in heaven give?
That's right.
Much more. He's not going to give you a rock or a stone. He's going to give you... He wants to give you the ultimate of everything you need. It's like Trish even said earlier. God don't want you to be poor. Mm-hmm. But sometimes decisions you make in life can make you poor.
Yep.
But God don't want you to be poor. God don't want you to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
God don't want you to be in sorrow. But guess what? Sometimes our action puts us there. Because of our lack of action. Sometimes we'll go, God, take this away from me. God says, well, what are you going to do? I'm waiting on you.
Right.
I'm waiting on you to do something.
Right.
Because guess what? I'm here. I'm always here. God says, I never leave you nor forsake you. And that is a true fact. No matter how hard what you're going through, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. He is true to his word. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I know a couple of years ago, you know, we lost a daughter. And I went through a tough time with that. And I know my kids and my wife and everyone else too in our family. And I had to, you know, I had to challenge myself. I was asking God, you know, hey, this is not what it's supposed to be. This is not the plan I had. This is not what it's life should have been. And then, you know, I said to say to myself, though, at the end of the day, I got told those kids in middle school, God didn't make a mistake. God knew what he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to trust him. Somewhere, somehow, God knew that that may have been a knockdown, but it's not knocked down. Just a little knockdown. You get back up. You keep moving. Because guess what? Another generation comes. They're going to need you.
Yep.
Someone's gone, but guess what? Put other things in your life. I got other plans for you. Hey, like I said, he brought her home. It was her time. Wasn't my decision, it was God's decision. It's always God's decision. So if you have faith and you're really looking at who you're waiting on, be like Moses, be like Peter. When you get knocked down, when you do bad things and you say to yourself, God, I'm relying back on you. I'm going to do what I need to do because I don't want you waiting on me.
Amen.
I'm going to do my part. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen.